Welcome to Retire with Purpose, a show designed to help maximize your financial confidence. Casey Weed is the CEO and founder of Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics. With offices in Indiana and Ohio and serving clients all across the United States virtually, Howard Bailey was voted first place best financial advisor 3 years in a row. Casey is a certified financial planner and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. He's your host on Retire with Purpose.
Hey, I'm Casey Weed, and we believe in retirement strategies that are driven by meaning and purpose. Join us this week and every week as we discuss planning for your best retirement, pinpointing your purpose, building a rock-solid financial plan, and unpacking trending topics that could impact your financial future. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to Retire with Purpose, the science of retirement confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend, co-host, fellow certified financial planner here with me, Marshall Johnson.
Hey, hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm excited, as always, yes, to be with you here on the weekend. We have an amazing show. We have all types of great content. This is an opportunity for us to talk about everything retirement. And that doesn't mean you have to be in retirement. Maybe you're at retirement. Maybe you're in retirement. Maybe you're near retirement. Or maybe you're just seeking that coveted job optional status. Well, hey, let me tell you, you found yourself a home. You're not going to want to miss this show. We're going to talk about frugality syndrome. You know, are you in retirement? Maybe you're not even in retirement yet, but you're just having trouble spending what you've worked so hard for, and you're losing track of why you did that in the first place. We're going to talk about getting over that syndrome here later in the show. We're also going to talk Roth conversions, specifically piecemeal Roth conversions during a volatile market. And we're going to be taking Social Security advice from experts that we have had join us on the Retire with Purpose podcast. We have some great giveaways later in the show as well. And we're also going to be talking case study. We're going to be sharing a case study from my Wall Street Journal bestselling book, Job Optional. We're going to talk about a couple that came in that sold their farm and said, don't ever lose a dime of my money. And we'll show you exactly how we accomplished that goal for them. But first, we're going to be sharing an article with you from our Weekend Reading for Retirees email series. What is that? Well, it's just an email. It's one email that goes out every single Friday. And I say it's just an email because it's just one email, not it's just an email. You have to get this email. We sift through all of the articles out there on the internet and find the best trending articles in the financial planning space to put those in front of you leading into the weekend, to give you some great reading material to help you stay up to date in the latest investment trends, policy changes, anything that can affect your bottom line, what you're going to find in that weekly email. And not just that, but there's great giveaways in there too. This is why you have to get this resource. There's white papers, there's webinar invitations, special event invitations. And as a first-time signer-upper, if you will, you'll also receive a free digital copy of my Wall Street Journal bestselling book, Job Optional. And it's super easy to get yourself signed up. You can just shoot us a text with the key letters WR to 866-482-9559. That's WR to 866-482-9559. Or just visit retirewithpurpose.com, where you can also check out the full-length podcast episode that Marshall and I did on this very article that we're pulling out a weekend reading for you today. And the question here that is posed at Advisor Perspectives, do U.S. investors underestimate risk?
What a good headline there, Casey. We're always looking for a good headline. Do U.S. investors underestimate risk? This was an article that was published for Advisors. This is an industry publication called Advisor Perspectives. And this article is written by Michael Finke, David Blanchett, a couple of smart dudes. We got some PhDs, some CFAs, some CFPs. These are some smart guys talking about risk.
I know. Yeah, and this really caught my attention because I know that you've all heard this saying. You've heard someone, your neighbor, your advisor, somebody has comforted you during times of financial crisis, stock market downturns by saying, it always comes back.
It always comes back.
It always comes back. It'll be okay. Just sit on your hands. And that is something that I do take issue with because I think that investors quite often are taking more risk than they actually realize that they are. We've had some great, brilliant minds on the Retire With Purpose podcast, and that's what's made it a great podcast. However, I don't agree with everyone that's there. I think some of them are kind of blind to the risk that's being taken in the stock market because they just look at the U.S. stock market and go, look, it always came back. You know how rare that is in the world of equity markets around the globe. So to the level of recovery that we've had in the U.S. time and time again, there's no guarantee that that's going to persist. And I think we are a little overconfident that the stock market's going to have these booms and busts. We're going to have a really bad time, and all of a sudden it's going to turn around and it's going to be the best market you've ever experienced. And yes, has that happened for the last 100 years? Sure. Does that mean it's going to happen for the next 100 years? It's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
We don't actually know. And this is why I so strongly believe that individuals planning for retirement do need some guarantees. They do need some protection outside of the stock market because they've been delivered so much overconfidence and confidence bias that it's biased their planning. And I believe many are taking on significantly more risk than they actually realize that they are.
You know, it's a pretty interesting thought, right? So we see it from the advisor perspective. And that's where I think you're talking about this overconfidence, right? You got these advisors that are like, oh man, the market is where you go, right? You pay this premium, they call it, this risk premium, you're going to average, what do they say, Casey?
9%.
6 to 10.
Yeah.
But you got to say asterisks. You got to say over a 10 to 30 year period of time, right?
Depending on which 10 to 30 year period of time.
And you look at this and then you have individuals who freak out every time the stock market declines, right? We go through it every time the market drops. Somebody panics.
That's only happening because they have everything in the market. The families that follow our planning process that don't have everything in the stock market and aren't completely dependent on the stock market continually doing well year after year and over long periods of time and working out to those averages, they don't have that same concern.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering too, like if people that are in that position, they do intrinsically understand what this study is showing. So that what they're referring to,
yes,
is a 2020 paper by Rodney L. White Center for Financial Research, the Wharton School. So this is showing that the U.S. has kind of gotten lucky to be in the position that they're in. So you've got advisors that are going, look, it's always come back. But I think in the back of a lot of investors' minds, they're like, well, shoot, what if it doesn't next time?
No, I mean, I think the people at the Wharton School of Business know what's going on. These are some smart
people. Fellas.
And what did they find with their research? With the research that they did, they said investors who base their beliefs about the distribution of possible stock returns on historical data from their home country, that being the United States, underestimate the probability of experiencing a significant crash. More than that, a rebound. And so what did they conclude? They concluded that when you look at all the data, the U.S. essentially has gotten lucky.
Considering a lot of the markets that hadn't gotten this lucky. And I think when you view it through that lens to say that, well, through the tech bubble and the great financial crisis and COVID and every other bear market or crash, if you will, what if the next time it's not as rosy?
What if we're another country? What if we're really any other country around the world? The U.S. is an anomaly, and anomalies only exist until they don't. It won't persist forever. We can't assume that scenarios such as the Great Depression, the tech bubble bursting, and what happened during the financial crisis are just going to be followed by a subsequent boom in the stock market. Actual return sequences outside the U.S. have been significantly worse. And that is what we're finding when you look at the data. When you look at the data that's available to us from 1870 through 2020, you look at 48 real and nominal returns for 18 countries during that period of time. We're talking 150 years. Mm-hmm. In that analysis, you know, and focus on, you know, 1872 through 2020, what you do find is, yes, the U.S. stock market significantly outperformed global markets. However, that doesn't mean that it's going to persist. I think that's what we should take from that data, is that we are an anomaly and we can't bet on that anomaly lasting into perpetuity. There will be times in the future. Is it going to be next year, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now? I don't know. But eventually there has to be a time period where we don't see the type of return after a bust, because that's what's happened in equity markets around the world. It's statistically impossible that it continues forever.
You know, it's such an interesting thought. And I think the whole point of this discussion is not to paint a doomsday scenario, right? We're not trying to do that. I was meeting with a family the other day. I'll call them Sid and Kathy, right? Sid is somebody who came to see me. He's always been incredibly growth oriented. He's always been really in tune with his accumulation side of things. He wanted to see the market go. He believes in the market. But in retirement, he wanted to shift a portion safe. He listened to us. He listened to our framework and said, I get it. I understand. I need to have some protection in place. And through this whole process, Casey, what it's done is it's allowed him to still be aggressive, right? Like, if you have a safe piece to your puzzle, he said to me, Marshall, this is great. I can still be aggressive. I know I've got enough money set aside over here for my paychecks, if you will. Got all this money set aside. I can then still take the risk because I do believe in U.S. economy. I do believe in U.S. companies. And so I want to still continue to bet and be a little bit aggressive. But you got to have a framework there. And that's what he shared with me. It's so nice to be able to have that framework. And sure, then I can still be aggressive.
Well, I feel like what the article saying and what that Sid really had was a level of humility, a little of humbleness, a little level of self-awareness to say, yeah, I do believe in the U.S.
I am
that
optimistic.
Doesn't mean that it's going to last forever. I should have some type of protection built into my financial plan. I mean, look back 120 years at U.K., Germany, Russia. There's no reason to think that investors back then in those economic powerhouses didn't have the same level of confidence that you see with U.S. investors today. And we all saw what happened. I think it's important for us to use expected returns as you're building your financial plan. But I think you also have to have your advisor, and you have to be aware that there's a possibility of extreme losses and not fast recoveries, ultimately, that could derail your plan. And it's not just limited to the worst case experiences, worst case scenarios that we've seen in the U.S. over the last 100 years. We can't limit it to that. And we have to plan for something that may be worse than that in the future. And if you're not preparing for that, if you're not running your financial analysis and always looking at the worst case scenario to ensure that you're still going to be okay, then I think you have a massive gap in your financial strategy. This is an opportunity for you to sit down with a Howard Bailey financial advisor and take it a step further. Do that analysis for yourself and put some guardrails in place. We're here to help you, but we can't provide personal guidance unless we meet with you and understand your unique financial situation. A chance for you right now is what we're offering for you to visit with our team, receiving answers to your top retirement questions, your top concerns. This can take just 30 minutes. We're talking about your life savings. I think it's worth a half an hour of your time. And during this time, you'll receive an inside look at our proprietary Retire with Purpose framework. We'll provide insight on tax savings opportunities. And as we've been discussing, tools to minimize your losses when the next stock market downturn hits. Call now, as this opportunity is on a first-come, first-served basis. We're usually fully subscribed by the end of the weekend, and it can take just 30 minutes. So call 866-482-9559 right now for your free personal financial review. That's 866-482-9559. Stick around, because after this, we're going to be talking Social Security.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics. This is Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retirement with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson.
Hey.
To do our favorite thing, and that is to address questions from yourself. So if you have questions, you have things that are keeping you up at night, you have questions, you have concerns, we all have financial questions or concerns. I do, Marshall does, we all do. It's okay to have them. It's also okay to ask those questions, and it's easy to do so as well. You just go on over to retirewithpurpose.com, click on the bubble in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and shoot us your question, and we'll get an answer right back to you. Trust me, this is better than ChatGPT. It is ChatHBF, and we will also feature your question here on the air if you would like us to. We have questions that came in throughout the week already from our podcast, YouTube channels, etc., and we're going to kick it off with Bob here. Bob says, what are your recommendations to balance the urge to stay in the accumulation mode as we did while working versus spending our savings during retirement on things we didn't think we could afford in the past? We have plenty of money saved for retirement, but continue to live well below our means.
Oh, man. Look at the detail that Bob provides there. Bob is self-aware, right? He knows that he's got an urge to stay in the accumulation mode. What does that mean in layman's terms? He's trying to grow his nest egg, right? He's focused on that bottom line. He wants to see it continue to ratchet up. When you're in those working years and you're saving, you know, it's nice to see the 401ks continue to accumulate. But when we get to retirement, Casey, it's about enjoying that money, right? It's about that money providing a lifestyle. And so what Bob is saying here is we have plenty of money saved for retirement, but we continue to live well below our means. And I think this is typical. We see this from a lot of families. A lot of the conversations we're having with individuals is their fear of not having enough prevents them from spending. But Bob's saying, hey, we've got enough. So what's holding him back? And Casey, I'm going to tee you up for a little paychecks versus playchecks discussion. Is that where you were going to go?
No, I was going to go to the 12-step program.
You're going to send Bob to rehab?
It's an addiction. I think that's what we forget. And yes, it's
a little financial rehab.
Yeah, I think where the paycheck, playcheck conversation comes in, I think that needs to come in to step three or four. You know, I think this is the problem. I think we get it backwards. I think we first initially believe, well, and a lot of financial advisors believe, well, if I just deliver a plan, and I thought that was true. Well, if I just give someone confidence, if I just give them a financial plan that shows them that they have enough available for emergencies, they have guaranteed income the rest of their life, they have assets set aside to protect from the unknown, things such as inflation, to provide flexibility, they have an estate plan, they know what's going to happen to those assets when they pass on, they got a tax strategy. Now, they'll just leave everything behind and go focus on what matters most. They'll actually spend those dollars because they know that they don't have to worry about the stock market crashing. You know, even in that scenario, part of that plan is what you alluded to there, right? Creating a guaranteed income that becomes those paychecks. You always know that income's coming in, so you don't have any problem spending it. And then you create some playchecks, some dollars that cover those discretionary expenses, maybe risk-based assets providing that income, and you're willing to take some fluctuation in that. All of that's great, but I think we get ahead of ourselves because I saw this time and time again where we would build this great financial plan. People knew that they had enough. They had all the confidence that they needed to spend,
right,
but they still didn't spend. So what was the missing ingredient? I think first is recognizing you have a problem. You know, that is the problem because you become addicted to saving throughout your entire life. It becomes about the numbers. You lose touch with what you're actually trying to accomplish because maybe you're always focused on a number in mind. You said, well, I need to save 10% or 20%. I need to have $1 million saved for retirement or $10 million saved for retirement. Whatever it is, you are always focused on the numbers and you lose track of what the numbers actually mean, why you wanted to do that in the first place. So what did we change at Howard Bailey? We sandwiched our financial plan. So in the center, do you have your financial life plan? Absolutely. Just like I just laid out, you have your financial life plan that delivers the confidence, but then we need the why. We need the purpose to drive that. If we don't first identify why are we doing this in the first place, I don't think it solves the problem. And you know, now what's Bob going to admit? Yes, I have a problem, and that's what he's doing. That's step number one. I have a problem because I'm not enjoying my wealth. Okay, great. Well, instead of building a financial plan, Let's take a step back and start taking a look at why you saved the money in the first place. And I think, you know, we define that as purpose, identifying your purpose, identifying your meaning and experiences in life. And I think that starts with identifying what your values are. And rarely, if ever, do I find someone where one of their core values is having a bunch of money, right? The core value is not money or wealth.
Like Scrooge,
for most
Scrooge
people,
McDuck, right? Maybe.
Yeah, Scrooge, 100%. Probably not a perfect fit client for Howard Bailey Financial. You know, but the individuals that know that there's more to life than money, that's a perfect fit for Howard Bailey Financial. I was sitting down with a gentleman just this past week, and we were talking. I asked him, what are your values? And he said, well, I'd never been asked that question before. And you could tell, like, why is a financial planner asking me about my values? Right. Let alone, I've never even had one of my closest friends ask me what my values are. Mm-hmm. And he gives me kind of this longer speech. And he said, so did I come up with three yet? And I said, yeah, do you want me to sum it up for you? And you said generosity, innovation, and humility. Those are your three core values that I heard you just say with everything goes. You nailed it. Those are the three things that I value the most in life. Well, he wasn't giving any money to charity. You know, he was still accumulating dollars. So the dollars that he had, he wasn't leveraging them for that purpose to give back. He wasn't spending time innovating. He loved creating, he loved being a leader and creating business strategy. And he wasn't spending time doing those things because he was too busy in the day-to-day grind trying to make that another dollar. And when it came to humility, I think that is just... that's admitting you have a problem, right? And it was the humbleness to go, you're not being humble because you're still trying to accumulate dollars you're never going to spend unless you make a change today. So once we have that clarity in the values, then we can create the financial plan that allows you to unleash the power of those values and elevate the meaning that you're going to experience in your life. But without that, it's just money. Mm-hmm. It's just money. Money is just money without a purpose.
Yeah. And Bob said, you know, I want to enjoy this wealth. And for me, when I have that conversation with a family, it's, what does that mean to you? And for some people, they don't know, Casey, because they haven't really ever done that. They haven't really enjoyed their wealth in that way, that they don't know quite what that's going to be. But spending time with that question really helps kind of formulate, okay, this is where we're going. This is how we get here. And how much is that? Really trying to put a number to that lifestyle.
And we'll take this even further in times. There's a couple that I'll never forget that was really struggling with this. They really wanted to retire. They wanted to, and we got to the bottom of it, right? Where'd they want to be? They wanted to get out of Indiana. They wanted to spend time on the beach
somewhere
in Florida.
Yeah,
they actually had family down in Florida. They wanted to be able to spend time down there. So what they do when they came into that next visit, not only do we always have your values and purpose on the TV screen when you walk in, but we had a beautiful beach scene all set up for them to help them create clarity and create a vision over, yes, that's what I want. I don't want this anymore. That's what I want. And this is how we get there. And I know that I can. So then we're painting a picture. There has to be color to your financial life.
Yeah, there's got to be a vision.
There has to be color and vision.
Vivid. Next up, we've got a question from Pamela. Pamela says, Casey, how does a piecemeal Roth conversion work during a down market?
That's perfect. I mean, so one, you've heard a lot of talk about Roth conversion. Really, I felt like this picked up big, you know, during the financial crisis where you could do a conversion and pay the taxes over 2 years.
Yeah, you can do a huge conversion.
And we did a ton of conversions during that down market, and people could pay those taxes over 2 years. And then as the market rebounded, they didn't have to pay taxes on the dollars that were in those accounts because now they're growing tax-free. And what's happened over the last 15 years, as the government continued to spend more and more money and government spending has spiraled completely out of control, there's been a greater and greater concern over rising taxes in the future. And there's inevitably going to become a day when taxes start to rise, just as they have in the past. The highest marginal tax bracket in history is 94%. Well, who's to say that that doesn't happen again? There will be higher taxes in the future, and this is why we've been harping on doing Roth conversions, taking those traditional IRAs, paying the taxes today in a lower tax rate environment, so that tomorrow you can have tax-free income and you no longer have to worry about what's going to happen in the tax world. I think a lot of people, though, they think well, if I'm going to do a Roth conversion, I need to do it all at once. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do it all at once. You can do piecemeal, and you should do piecemeal strategically.
A little bit at a time,
you should be working with your CPA, working with your financial planner to take a look at your tax brackets, take a look at your Medicare situation, take a look at your Social Security situation, put all these different things together so that we can maximize the tax efficiency of your accounts by doing a little bit each year very strategically. And during a down market, what do we have the opportunity to do? We get the opportunity to essentially convert more of that traditional IRA to Roth because the values are depressed. Those are the times during a down market that you want to take advantage of that opportunity, and you have that opportunity today. And this is what a piecemeal Roth conversion is all about, being strategic with your tax brackets, your current tax situation as it ebbs and flows year to year and tax rules change, and being strategic with the market and watching the stock market, watching your investable assets, and very strategically selecting the right assets to do these piecemeal Roth conversions one piece at a time. And if you want to dig deeper into strategies for minimizing your taxes in retirement, we want to get you a free digital tax guide here. And we want to make it available to you for free. This comprehensive guide, it includes essential insight for keeping more of your hard-earned dollars in retirement. And since it's our mission to provide more clarity in your financial life, we're giving it to you at no cost. To get your free digital tax guide, we made it super easy. Call or text a keyword to us right now. That keyword is tax, T-A-X, to 866-482-9559. Again, we're offering a free tax guide to create more tax efficiency in your financial life and walk you through these strategies. That's tax to 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. Stick around, because after this, we have some great giveaways and awesome experts to share with you in the world of Social Security.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics. This is Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose. It's your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me. Hey, and this is our opportunity to highlight some podcast guests with you. We're going to be featuring our most downloaded Retire with Purpose podcast guests who have provided insight on the complexities of Social Security and how to navigate making the best filing decision for your situation. Because, hey, Social Security's complicated. There's rules, regulations. It's far from straightforward. And you don't need to memorize Social Security. You don't even need to study Social Security to actually come to the right decision. You have to start by working with a qualified professional who can leverage software as a piece of the puzzle. And it's helpful to ensure that nothing is missed. Beyond that, you can apprise yourself of Social Security basics with educational resources such as the Retire with Purpose podcast. You can check out full-length feature episodes of the Retire With Purpose podcast at retirewithpurpose.com or check out the Retire With Purpose YouTube channel. We're going to be kicking it off with our most downloaded YouTube video of all time with Social Security expert Mary Beth Franklin, with just shy of a million views. She's a nationally recognized specialist in retirement and Social Security. We focus most of our interview on Social Security specifically, and she's also a contributing editor to Investment News. And what we spoke about quite significantly during the interview was her book, Maximizing Social Security Retirement Benefits. Real straightforward, and I think that's why so many commented that it was the best Social Security informational interview they had ever seen, because she really sticks to the facts and gave us a wide-ranging view of Social Security and how to make a better Social Security decision. So one of the things that I had to ask Mary Beth is why the decision is so complex, because so often we go, why is it so complex?
Why is it so hard?
Shouldn't it be so easy? Well, the reality is it was easy. Some things have changed over the years. There's a few more rules today.
There are more than 2,700 rules that govern Social Security benefits. Just think about that. Now back up and think, when did it start? 1935, thanks to FDR. Following the Great Depression, there was virtually no sort of pension in the country, and he wanted to create what he called an earned benefit for workers. In other words, they contributed part of their payroll each week, and they would look forward to a retirement where they would have some security and dignity. But over the 80 plus years that Social Security has been in existence, extra rules have been added on. And a lot of times the underlying rules weren't taken away. It's a bit like trying to read the U.S. tax code. Not a lot of fun.
Well, what I often
not a
say,
lot of fun.
If there's an easy way to do things and a hard way, which way does the IRS typically choose?
Ooh.
Well, Social Security is not a whole lot different.
Yeah, absolutely. And as she mentioned, a lot of times they're piling new rules on top of old rules, and it just convolutes the whole mess. 2,700 rules governing Social Security.
I would say the Obama administration tried to simplify things a little bit, but they're really just eliminated two basic rules. Mm. There's still a lot to be aware of. And it's not just the 2,700 rules that govern Social Security. And I think that's what so often we get wrong. We go, well, we can meet with Howard Bailey. They're going to run us a Social Security analysis to show us how to maximize our Social Security benefits, governing all those different rules. If we take them all into consideration, when should I file for Social Security? But that's not necessarily the best time for you to file for Social Security, because it's dependent on how much money you have,
yeah,
what your health is, what your age is, how long you're going to live. Are you married? Are you not married?
What are your goals? Do you want to leave a legacy? Is it about taking care of you? Are you more worried about your spouse? Do you want to leave a lot of your investable assets to a church or a charity or the kids?
And that's not to mention even Medicare. There's Medicare considerations that have to be tied into this. There's tax considerations when it comes to doing Roth conversions. You might have a pension decision to make in conjunction with this. The big picture has to be looked at to get the right diagnosis and ultimately get the right prescription in order to make the best decision for yourself around Social Security. And if you want to dive deeper into getting a Social Security analysis, we can send you a Social Security analysis for free. Give us a couple tidbits of information. We'll send you out the Social Security analysis. And if you want to take it a step further and sit down and build that into a comprehensive financial plan, then take us up on that. So if you want a free Social Security analysis, give us a call or shoot us a text at 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559.
You know, it's one of my favorite conversations to have, Casey, with a family when they come in and go, all right, let's figure out this Social Security thing, and we'll sit down, go through the different tools and the analysis. And generally what ends up happening after about 10, 12 minutes, they see the bigger picture and they go, oh, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do this, right?
Yeah.
They're able to make a confident decision once they've seen the numbers and they really understand how it applies to their situation.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I wanted to ask Mary Beth, because so often, what's the natural guidance? You read the headline, says, well, file for Social Security as late as possible. Don't file for Social Security till age 70. I said, Mary Beth, that can't be the answer for everybody, is it? So what are your thoughts on when it makes sense to start Social Security early from a Social Security expert?
Again, it talks about health and wealth. If you're in poor health, you might not want to delay. However, my big emphasis on who should delay really focuses on married couples. And I really think one spouse, the one with the bigger benefit, is the one who should delay. Because what a lot of people don't realize is when one spouse dies, the biggest Social Security benefit continues as the survivor benefit. So by having one spouse maximize a retirement benefit, you're virtually guaranteeing that there's this bigger benefit that will continue after one spouse dies. Now, actuarially, typically the men are going to die first. They often tend to be the bigger earners. So it does make sense in many cases for the husband to delay benefits up until age 70. Having said that, many times it makes sense for the wife to go ahead and claim benefits early if she's not working, because people who claim benefits before their full retirement age and who continue to work are subject to earnings restrictions.
See, and that's just one wrinkle. You go, okay, well, you're married, and it might make sense for you to delay the husband's Social Security if that husband was the higher income earner. Maybe they're a little bit older, so that you can have a much bigger benefit that's compounding at 8% plus inflation adjustments for the surviving spouse down the road. But that's just one piece. I mean, one of my wealthier clients has so much saved for retirement that they don't really need Social Security, right. But they also want income. And they go, well, I could spend my money or I could spend what I've paid into the Social Security Administration. Mm-hmm. Why don't we take the money from Social Security? And if we looked at the Social Security analysis, it would tell them to delay until their max benefit. Yeah. They decided to file early because when we look at all of their investable assets, they'll have significantly more in investable assets later if they file for Social Security earlier rather than drawing income from their portfolio and delaying those benefits.
Yeah, I love it. And the discussion we've had earlier in the show about Roth conversions plays into this too, Casey, and really understanding how to utilize Social Security to its fullest, maybe not for the benefit, but to maximize your income plan.
Yeah, so check out our full-length interview with Mary Beth Franklin on the podcast or on our YouTube channel, retirewithpurpose.com. Next up, we wanted to highlight another expert. We have the editor of Retirement Watch, a monthly newsletter, website, senior contributor to Forbes, and author of Retirement Watch's The Essential Guide to Retiring in the 2020s, and also what we discussed in our podcast interview, Where's My Money? Secrets to Getting the Most Out of Your Social Security. This is Bob Carlson. So in talking with Bob, one of the things that I had seen in some of his writing, and he's been pretty loud about this, is that you should not rely on guidance from Social Security employees. He's seen it happen too many times where he's seen bad advice delivered from those Social Security employees when deciding when to file for your Social Security. So don't go to them for Social Security filing strategy. Why is that? Well, let's hear from Bob.
And I've had subscribers tell me that when I wrote something, they called Social Security, they got a different answer, so they were a little skeptical, so they waited a day or two, called Social Security again, got someone else, and got a different answer. Mm-hmm. And the Inspector General of Social Security has done several reports, and it's found that Social Security gives wrong answers a high percentage of the time. It's just a matter of their being trained properly, having the proper background, how much time they've had on the job. But in particular, they've given bad advice to widows. When you've been married and a spouse passes away, a surviving spouse has several options how to take benefits, and they can also change their mind a few years later.
Just further emphasizes the need to sit down with not someone that's just going to look at Social Security in a vacuum, but a financial planner that looks at all the different puzzle pieces, right? And Social Security is just a puzzle piece. You know, when we're building a financial plan, we're taking everything into consideration. You know, working with a gentleman that I just saw leave our office here a moment ago to go out on his bike ride, when we delivered his financial plan, he said to me, you know, Casey, I finally feel like I went to one place where everything is in the right place, and I was actually able to accomplish all the goals that I had set out. He felt that he had to go meet with the attorney, then he had to meet with the accountant, then he had to meet with the investment broker, then he had to meet with the insurance broker, and he goes, now
try to piece it all together on his own.
Instead, right? we have the Social Security strategy, we have the pension strategy, we have the investment strategy, we have the income strategy, the estate strategy, the insurance strategy. We have everything pieced together in one magnificent puzzle that allows you to sit back and go, okay, now I know where I am, I know what I have, and I know that all of my bases are covered. And, you know, sometimes the start of that doesn't mean coming in and visiting with a financial planner. Maybe you're not ready for that step. Maybe you're really dialed in and focused on Social Security right now, and you just want to take a deeper dive into Social Security. You just want to create some general knowledge around Social Security prior to visiting with a financial planner, because Social Security can just feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. You can start learning how to maximize your benefit now with our complimentary Social Security guide. This is a comprehensive guide that will walk you through how to time your benefit distributions, and it'll explore with you six essential questions you should ask not just yourself, but your financial advisor to help you make the best financial decisions, the best filing decisions for your unique situation. So to get your free digital Social Security guide, simply text the keyword social to 866-482-9559. That's social to 866-482-9559. Stick around, because after this, we're going to be talking to Bob and Charlene about getting some certainty around their finances.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics. This is Retire with Purpose, brought to you by Howard Bailey Financial, the official wealth management partner of Notre Dame Athletics.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, fellow certified financial planner practitioner, Marshall Johnson.
Hey-o!
Hey, we're excited to have you here. We're going to be doing a little giveaway off the top today. We're going to be giving away my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Job Optional. If you've never received it before, this is your opportunity to get an amazing resource. All you have to do is this. Shoot us a text. Shoot us a text with the key letters J-O-B, job, to 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. You know, I get told all the time, the reader's favorite part of this book were the stories. And, you know, when I initially wrote the book, we formed a focus group. We sat down, everybody read the book, and they offered me feedback and critical analysis of the book. And it was
probably the smartest thing we did.
Everyone loved the stories, and they said, we want more stories. So I went back and I doubled down on the stories and just really filled the book with all types of real life examples of families that we've worked with over the last 15, 20 years that we've been able to make a positive impact in their lives. And this is how we did it. And we did it in a lot of different ways. And I think that's the power in reading these stories, is seeing yourself in the story, seeing yourself in those individual scenarios, because you might look at your neighbor and go, yeah, I know what she did, but that's not me.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Well, and you hear the stories too, and you see it from a third party perspective, but you can kind of put yourself in that story and go, you know, I don't think I would respond that way, or I don't think I would want that, or
yeah, that's me. I want something like that.
Mm-hmm. I want to learn from the experiences of others. And even my my sister-in-law had read the book in their 20s. And for them, they said it had a really positive impact on their life, because now they know the mistakes not to make when they're on their way to retirement, and the things that they should be doing or shouldn't be doing on their way to retirement in their financial lives. And there's a wide range of different individuals that we meet with here at Howard Bailey. And we do work with a lot of farmers. Being in the Midwest and being myself with a large farming family, my wife has a large farming family background, and we work with a lot of farmers over the years. There was a couple that we worked with many years ago, Bob and Charlene, and they were in that world. They were in the farming world. There are farmers that are investors, but most of the time, farmers are much like any other business owner. They keep most of their investments in their business.
They plow it back into the business.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that good? Was that good, Carl?
Yeah, it was a funny little joke you had there. You know, that is what they do, right? It's a very capital intensive business, so it's almost a necessity for you to continue to invest back in that, buying more farmland, investing in equipment, et cetera. And there's rarely a lot of experience with the volatility of the stock market. The downside of that for Bob and Charlene is they were in their 70s and they had dreams and goals. You know, they love farming, but they didn't really want to do that the rest of their life. They had other things that they wanted to do. You know, they wanted to travel the world. They had never seen the world. They'd never been out of the country.
Right.
However, they couldn't leave the country. They had to take care of the farm, and they didn't have the wealth to do so. They had a lot of assets. They had significant wealth. They just didn't have the liquidity. They didn't have the income to leverage those things to go out and enjoy life the way that they really wanted to enjoy life. And for a lot of farmers, they have children that want to take over the farm.
Yeah.
And that ties them to that farm until the day that they die. Mm. And they never get to fully experience all the things that maybe they wanted to experience outside of the farm in their lives. For Bob and Charlene, their children weren't interested in carrying on the legacy that had lasted for generations. And we're seeing that more and more today.
Yeah, they saw their parents and what it meant to them. And then they decided, hey, that's not the life.
It's not the life that I want to live. Yeah. I want to do things. I want to travel. I want to see the world. And so they decided to sell the farm before they had visited with us.
That decision did not come easily, but no. they landed.
And it took many years. You know, they didn't sell the farm all at once. Yeah. They sold a significant chunk of the farm a couple of years prior to visiting with us, and they met with a local investment broker that was introduced to them by one of their friends. And they had promised them high returns, talked about the returns they were going to get, right? What do you typically hear? Hey, you're going to make 7 to 10%. You know, you're going to make way better returns than you ever made in the farm. And then just a couple of years later, they found themselves with less than what they started with. They had 10% less than they started with. It wasn't a huge hit, right? They had 10% less over 2 years than they started with, but that wasn't what they were used to. They weren't accustomed to that, like your typical 401k investor yeah. that created their $1 million and became a millionaire by investing in the stock market and during the ups and downs. That's a different breed. Those individuals know, hey, well, it gets bad sometimes, but I just don't look at my statements for a while. Then it gets good. You have experience going through these ups and downs.
Yeah, they hadn't been conditioned to it. You know, it's kind of like when I took my kid, Grady, to Cedar Point for the first time. Never been on a roller coaster in his entire life. And then we go on the corkscrew right out of the gate, scared him half to death, right? He didn't want to go on a roller coaster ever again after that. So if somebody loves roller coasters, that's great. They understand it. Hey, it's gonna be thrilling. For somebody that does not love heights and does not love the thrills, this was a poor fit.
Well, I think the typical approach to that is, well, educate them on how the stock market works. Show them that the stock market always rebounds, that there are ups and downs, and they're going to end up with a good return over time if they can just sit on their hands. But that's not how it works when you've seen generations of your family with blood, sweat, and tears poured in to what is now decreasing in value. It creates a pit in your stomach. I know when my dad created most of his wealth in real estate, and one of the ways that he did that was by owning an apartment complex when I was a kid. And when we owned that apartment complex in Columbia City, Indiana, you know, dad didn't just go out and buy cash for that, right? He took out a loan, so he had a significant amount of debt, and then used the rent to pay down the debt. And rather than hiring out all the work, my grandfather would go over there and help people get in, check them into their apartments, do their paperwork with them, get them their keys. My mom would go over there and clean the apartments after someone moved out. Myself and my dad, we would go over there. We would clean the parking lot, get the stones out of the driveway, get the trash picked up. We would take care of the lawn. We did everything, much like a farmer is going to do with their farm. And when dad sold that, he was never going to take those dollars and put them at risk. He was never going to take those and put them in the stock market.
It was blood, sweat,
because it was
tears.
Blood, sweat, and tears. It just wasn't his. It was the blood, sweat, and tears of his family, generations of his family, again, much like a farmer. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what we quite often get wrong in this industry, is feeling like we need to convince somebody. We need to convince you to stay in the market. Mm-hmm. We need to convince you that this is the best place for you, when in reality, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the best thing for you, like it was Bob and Charlene here, was knowing that they were never going to lose money and they were always going to make a return. That's what they wanted. They came in to me, visited with me, and said, we'll work with you as long as you can guarantee we never lose money again. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, we can do that, right? And we can sit here and I could talk you out of, you know, doing that, because you can earn a better rate of return if we stay in the market. Alternatively, they had enough money to last the rest of their lives, and they didn't want to take on any risk. They wanted to know that they were going to get a paycheck every single month in the form of interest like they were used to when they had a farm. And so we go, okay, here, we're going to put it in this fixed bucket. You're going to make a fixed rate of return every year for the rest of your life. You're going to have more than enough interest to live off of it and travel the country and enjoy life the way that you wanted to actually enjoy it. And that was the certainty that they wanted for their retirement years. And that's what I just want to continue to go back for. It's not your advisor's money. If something that they're doing is making you uncomfortable and they're talking you into staying the course into a strategy or investment that you're uncomfortable with, then go get another opinion. It's not their money. It's your money.
We interestingly enough just had a calendar year 2022 where things that are always sold as being safe. So you talk about bonds always being sold as, hey, this is the alternative to your stocks. Well, guess what? You lost double digits on your bonds last year. You lost double digits, maybe 20% on your stocks. Having these sorts of conversations and going through that really helps some people understand what their risk tolerance is, Casey. But what you did for Bob and Charlene here is you help them, one, understand that they have enough, right? That's part of the question here is, do we have enough? And number two, how much do you have to make as a required rate of return to never run out of money? Mm. And for some families, that might only be 1 or 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
So solving that question is part of the planning process and is so important to understanding, do I have to take the risk of the market? Do I need market-like rates of return?
Well, and that was an unfortunate reality a couple of years ago, was that many didn't feel they had a choice other than to take risk in the stock market in order to earn enough interest that they could live off of it. But the world's changed. I mean, what's amazing today, you can have a 2-year guarantee of 4 or 5% today. You're almost getting 6% when you're willing to take on a 3-year term. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a world of which savers are now benefiting from.
Yeah.
Retirees and conservative people are now in a position where they can finally get what they want to get. They can actually get those fixed rate of returns that can give them the confidence, give you the confidence to spend and enjoy your life without having to worry about what's going to happen next in the stock market, what's going to happen next in Washington, what's going to happen next in Ukraine. But now knowing I'm okay, I have enough to last the rest of my life, and I can get off of this roller coaster. And today, I want to give you the opportunity to sit down, not just with a financial planner, but also give you some education as well. You can give us a call. We'll walk you through all of your different options in order to get off the stock market roller coaster, in order to protect yourself against inflation, in order to minimize your tax risks in retirement. And we can do all that in a half an hour or less. Just give us a call right now at 866-482-9559 for a free personal financial review. That's 866-482-9559. And maybe you're just looking for a little additional education. You're not ready to sit down and actually have that conversation. A good first stop is picking up my Wall Street Journal bestseller, Job Optional. And we're here to send it to you out for free. If you've never received it before, shoot us a text. Shoot us a text with the key letters, J-O-B, that's JOB, to 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. We'll be right back here with you next week on Retire With Purpose.
First-time callers are eligible to receive one in-stock book per request, limit one book per week per household, up to 3 books per calendar year. See full terms at howardbailey.com/terms. University of Notre Dame and University of Notre Dame Athletics are not current clients of Howard Bailey Securities, LLC, nor Howard Bailey Financial Incorporated. Legends, JMI rights holders on behalf of Notre Dame was compensated for this endorsement as such term is defined under SEC Rule 206-4-1. For more information, visit howardbailey.com/nddisclosure. Investment advisory services may be offered through Howard Bailey Securities, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Working with Howard Bailey Securities, LLC cannot guarantee investment success or that specific financial goals will be achieved. Job Optional was a number one Amazon bestseller in retirement planning on July 2nd, 2019, and a Wall Street Journal ebook bestseller on August 9th, 2019. For more information on professional designations, visit www.finra.org/investors/professional-designations. Fort Wayne Newspaper's Reader's Choice Award in the category of financial advisors awarded on the basis of a public vote held online by Fort Wayne Newspapers. This radio show is a paid placement.